This is Matt Wells at UN News. Farmers in Zimbabwe have already struggled with erratic rainfall and a fragile economy this year, but now they look set to suffer the effects of an El Niño-related drought, UN aid agencies said on Tuesday. In a bid to help an estimated 3.9 million people who face severe food insecurity between now and April, the World Food Programme, WFP, and partners are stepping up relief to those most in need, particularly those in the southern districts and other smallholders in the west and north of the country. In an interview with Daniel Johnson from UN News, WFP's Niels Balzer explained what disruption the El Niño weather phenomenon could bring.
WFP and the humanitarian community, with support from the government, we're projecting at the peak of the lean season to see about 3.9 million food insecure people.
Can you break down that number a little bit? 2 million or so in rural areas, 1.5 in urban areas.
Projected 2.4 in rural areas and about 1.5 million in urban areas.
So how does that compare with previous years?
The numbers are a result of many factors. If you compare it to the 2016-2017 El Niño year, we're close to about the same numbers. The numbers were lower during the last season, that's 17-18, but now we're seeing them going up again for this coming season.
Of that 3.9 million, what does that mean exactly when you say they're food insecure?
Food insecure, if you want to translate it in simple terms, in layman terms, you would say people who have about one meal or less a day during the peak.
So you can't reach 3.9 million people, presumably. How many people are you going to be targeting?
We, as in WFP, we look at 1.1 million people during the peak of the lean season. Again, that's from January to about April 2019. Of course, we're not the only player. There's quite an effort from the government side as well to provide food assistance during that time of the year as well, and other players on the ground.
With the change of government, how does that affect your approach to the country in Zimbabwe?
As the UN system, I would say, and as in WFP as well, we've always had a good relationship with the government. We had on humanitarian grounds, we have access to the different most vulnerable communities in the different areas of the country. And I foresee this to remain or even get better, more partnerships, other partners will have access in addition to ourselves.
And with the change in government, the Mnangagwa government, has that meant that there is a different approach to development issues?
I think we've seen the Zimbabwe development plan, which is coming to an end. We now have a transitional plan in place, which the UN is supporting in developing with the government. And in about 2 years from now, we'll have a new national development plan. And we hope that we continue to have this good relationship and manage to have a good program in place as the UN as a whole, that we can support the new government in succeeding towards the sustainable development goals.
Because we've been hearing a lot about cholera in the country because of rundown infrastructure, how does that impact on what kind of assistance you're going to bring to the country? I mean, you're not just going to purely provide food aid.
Absolutely, you're correct. I think we've been shifting from a humanitarian's perspective only to looking more broadly at the nexus of the humanitarian development and peace nexus, where other UN agencies equally participate and equally partner with WFP, but others as well. And I think it's important that we, while there is a humanitarian imperative and there is an investment needed on that front, we need to make sure we address the root causes, we address resilience issues in country, and that's not one agency's mandate, that this is the UN's mandate with all the partners more broadly.
You mentioned there are 3.9 million potentially vulnerable, food vulnerable people, compared with, what, last year, 1 million people. So could you perhaps explain what that means for Zimbabwe moving ahead?
I think, you know, we have to make a strong difference between availability of commodities in the market, availability of basic commodities, and access, right? And I think in Zimbabwe, it's largely the issues building around accessibility. And accessibility means essentially, do you have your own stocks if you're a smallholder farmer in rural areas? Or do you have access to labor, to income opportunities that make sure you have the money in the pocket throughout the year to go to a local rural retailer and buy an adequate diet?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand. Why is it that there are 3.9 million people potentially food insecure this year and only 1 million last year?
Okay, it's always dependent on the previous season's harvest, right? And that translates into the accessibility of food, right? And availability of food a season thereafter.
But I thought last year's harvest was very good.
It was comparatively good, but you will have to see that if we talk at national level of a good harvest, this pertains mainly to larger producers, to some smallholder producers, and that's at aggregate national level. We still have those key pockets in, especially if you look at the southern belt and some areas towards the northwest and the north as well. Those are chronically food insecure areas that, despite a national average or a national accumulated good harvest, that doesn't mean it had happened there. And what we see from these analyses is that these areas are constantly and increasingly suffering from climate change. Those are areas that lose out on a continuous basis, and that's where sort of the chronic issues lie.
I wanted to ask you about climate change. You've already mentioned El Niño briefly. What are the fears should a new El Niño episode happen next year?
Well, the latest information that we have is that we have a likelihood or a probability of an 80 to 85% probability of an El Niño coming in this season. That means essentially that it is very likely that we see a late onset of the season and that we see, in addition, dry spells, right, which will have a direct impact on all of these smallholder farmers that don't have access to irrigation, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, there's a potential for a diminished harvest, again, particularly in those areas that are always hardest hit. And that means lower harvests, which in turn result most likely in the next lean season where, unfortunately, there's further support needed.